Welcome to the Roundtable of Dim Lighting. I'm Micah.
I'm Colin.
And today we're going to see if we can remain positive about some traditionally frustrating or negative things.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of negativity in the world, and most of it comes directly from Micah
from
and
you
I.
And I.
Yeah. So we thought it'd be a fun exercise if we could just talk for a whole hour about things that we know bothers the other person, but just doing our best to,
stay positive
about it.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself to be an overly negative person, Micah?
Absolutely, yes. I've worked on it for the last 10 years. I've made a little bit of progress, but not that much.
Yeah.
No, I'm super negative. A lot of times people, I'll be an accidental Debbie Downer by someone will be like, I had a ham sandwich. And I'm like, ugh, ham's gross. And that's how I react to that. And then I go, I'm sorry, that was really rude.
Yeah, because just let someone enjoy
their ham sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. It has nothing to do with you and your, yeah, I get it. So I don't know why I'm such a pessimistic person. I mean, it's so easy to just default to it, right?
It is, yeah.
It's just the easiest thing in the world to look at everything glass half empty and be annoyed all the time and just like pointing out everybody's flaws and stuff.
You know what I think it is?
What's that?
For me at least, it's like I assume that everyone's going to be on board and be like, yeah, that thing does suck. And then we're going to have a moment and we're going to get to like vent about it.
Yeah.
And like it's us against the world.
Right. Like you're going to be the one that rallies everyone to
ham sucks, right, guys?
Yeah, we don't want any more
everyone's
ham.
Like, yeah, I hate ham.
Yeah.
But really, they're like, you just ruined a thing I like. Thanks.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I saw this book cover.
Yeah.
And the name of the book was Power of Positive Thinking.
Oh.
And I didn't read the book. I figured I had it. Like, okay, yeah, think positively.
Nailed it, yeah.
Yeah, but that's essentially what we decided we wanted to do here. We want to talk about things purposely that we know gets under our skin and, you know, just really gets us thinking negatively, and then just
we have to talk about it positively.
We have to see the sunny side of the road for 1 hour, and I can
sunny
already
side
see
up.
You sweaty.
Yeah. Oh, I'm terrified of this whole experience. I do think we don't have any like formal punishments.
Mm-mm.
Which would
I mean, we can berate each other, I feel like.
Yeah, I think we just have to keep each other on task.
You know,
if you start
what?
Going negative, I'm gonna have to be like, eh.
Well, you know what, Micah? Actually,
yeah.
Let's incorporate a little positivity into it. Why not? Why do punishments at all? How about you and
positive
I?
Positive reinforcement?
You and I reinforce each other's positive behavior for the next 40 minutes.
That is an excellent idea, Colin.
And let's just be happy and enjoy the situation together.
That sounds amazing. And I love your shirt, by the way.
Thanks. I got it from Wardrobe because I realized we were wearing the exact same shirt when we came and sat down in here.
Good Mythical Morning. If you haven't heard of it, check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
So we're going to have to try and be positive about things that I've prepared, two things that I think you will hate,
mm-hmm.
and will have a hard time staying positive about.
Yeah.
And you've prepared some things for me as well, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, Micah? I just want to say I'm grateful for the opportunity to discuss these things in a positive way right now.
This, you've made it a competition now.
No, I haven't.
This is gonna get extremely positive. Thank you, Colin, for allowing me to be graced by your presence here today at the round table of dim lighting.
You know what, Micah? I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
And you're just super good at making people feel good.
Colin, you're really good at thanking people.
Okay.
That was such a nice thank you.
Yeah.
And you've made me feel just so welcomed and appreciated. And you know what? I'm having the best day I've ever had.
That's awesome. I'm so happy to hear it.
So we have agreed on a topic.
Yes.
There's
a parameter that we put ourselves into.
Yes. And we put ourselves into a lot of parameters today. But I think it's the perfect topic to stay positive on because everybody has 1,000 gripes on this topic. There's so many things to get frustrated about.
It's almost cliched.
It is.
It's
exactly cliched.
But clichés don't come from anywhere. Or don't come from nowhere. you know? So that's my positive take on the cliche is it's universal.
It's universal, and that is why we chose it. And that topic is
transportation.
The most fun topic in the world.
Yes. Don't you just love like going to a new place though?
I do. I mean, transportation enables us to explore.
Yeah.
And I do really love traveling. It's been a long time since I've been out of the country because I kind of burnt out on it.
Yeah.
For a while, but it is a great thing to do. I really do love it.
I agree. I spent the better part of 3 years working on the road and seeing almost all of the country and a few spots in Mexico and Canada, and it was an amazing opportunity, and I wouldn't like take that time back for anything in the world, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, traveling is really important for the soul, as
they
say.
It is absolutely important for the soul, and it's important to get to appointments in the South Bay or something, you know, or Culver City.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it takes about the same time to get there as it does to go to New Orleans or wherever you went. You went to New Orleans, right?
No, I've never been to New Orleans.
Great. That's what I thought. Okay, so do you want to, who should start? You want to try and make me negative?
Yeah. Well, okay. I think I want to give you the opportunity to see an annoyance in a new light.
Okay.
So what I want to talk to you about right now is something, just knowing your personality. I know.
I can't wait.
Here's the thing. This is something you guys may not know about Micah, if it isn't apparent, but Micah loves rules.
Oh, yes.
Order. And things to be in their place and done a certain way.
Here's the thing. I do love rules and order. It's only because I do not understand humans. And I need them to abide by the same set of rules that I abide by in order to function in society. So
okay.
So that's why. It's rarely is it like this is the best way to do it. But like I do need people to like. I need a system in order to understand what anyone's doing. Or
okay,
thinking.
You just can't relate to people on like a human level.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Well, then I think this one is going to be good because it does involve humans and in a very. I don't want to say intimate, but it's like person on person.
God.
No.
What's
but
this
gonna
be? Traveling in an intimate way,
Micah. I want to know your opinion of people who stand on escalators.
Oh God! Oh no!
Like let's say especially
I love them.
Like
I love them.
You do?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It's gotta stay positive. Especially what?
Well, let's say they have like a big roller bag or something. So there is no opportunity for passing.
Okay. Well, a roller bag that you've now given them an excuse to be standing there.
Really?
Yeah, a roller bag on an escalator?
Pick it up by the handle.
Oh, that's true.
Well, anyway, this is your time. This is
well,
your
it
time.
Depends. Are they, you know, maybe they're not, maybe they're elderly and,
okay.
Or have two broken arms or something.
Sure. Well, that's nice. I mean, so you're allowing context into the situation.
Sure.
That's understandable.
There's always room for context.
Great.
That's my motto. Gosh, okay, standing on escalators, let's be positive. You know, sometimes you just need to take a load off.
Uh-huh. yeah.
And, you know, it can get really exhausting being on the train or whatever, standing there on the train, sitting on the train, and then you have to get onto an escalator. It's like, you don't want to move those legs around. You need to take a break, you know?
Yes.
That's some me time. That's thinking time. It's like shower time.
Yeah.
Because I do my best thinking in the shower.
Okay.
So maybe everyone else in the world does their best thinking on the escalator.
Well, I mean, I like to do my thinking on a nice long walk, which is sort of the opposite of standing on an escalator because that is a short mobile stand. But
yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, walking is great. I really love walking. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do enough walking in any given day, I feel terrible and like sore and exhausted. So I need to like get my blood moving. But why do people do this?
Micah,
why would
no.
anyone
Micah,
why would anyone do this?
Focus.
Okay.
Stay positive.
So not only is it great to stand on an escalator when there are hundreds of people behind you, but what you really want to do is buddy up. You know, you want to grab a partner and stand side by side.
Oh, that's nice.
Really just because that way you can really connect with your friend or with your lover and or children, whatever it is. You know what? Go parent two children, three in a row. Just take up the whole
three wide on an escalator.
Three little ducklings. Yeah,
That's true, because that's bonding time. You know, people are always in such a go, hurry them up kind of state in the world. So you know, it's important just to sort of take like a moment.
That is true. It can, you know, it can be seen genuinely. Mm-hmm. It can be seen my frustration with elevator standards. It can be seen as like you're such a busy metropolitan American rushing around, taking no time to just smell the roses, etc. Yeah. I actually do understand that, but I can't have a butt because I have to stay positive about it. I do understand that point of view, genuinely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you like sort of, because I understand I'm very much the same way. You and I are similar personality and upbringing and stuff like that. So like it is when it's time
from
to
the
move,
northern suburbs of Chicago.
That's right.
And
when it's time to move, you move.
Yes.
In McHenry County, let me tell you that much. But I mean, do you like having sort of, even if it's forced on you, do you like sort of having a moment where you have to like take a breath and just accept what's around? No. Okay.
If it's forced on me, I will be nothing but stress.
Okay.
It will not be a relaxing moment. If I'm stuck in a situation, I hate feeling stuck in any capacity.
Well, can you rephrase that without the word
hate
in it? I love
feeling unstuck.
There you go.
No, but I, gosh, positive about escalator standards. I guess it's I've said all I can say about it. It's
really?
Yeah.
What if I were to give you, okay. So
this is, you really tricked me in this first one. This is hard.
If I were to give you 30 seconds right now to be negative about it. You think you could fill that 30 seconds?
Uh-huh.
All right, well, I'm not going to do that because that is not the premise of the show.
that's fair enough. That's probably a good call.
Well, you know what? Maybe at the end we could blow off a little steam.
Ooh, there should be a section at the end. Like,
you know what?
Blowing off steam.
Yeah, that's a good call because it's a good call that I came up with.
yeah, but I repeated it back to you, so it's kind of my
true.
Idea now.
That's true. It's affirmation.
It is affirmation.
Thank you for that.
It was a great idea.
Yeah. But I mean, that's important, you know? There should be stress reliefs and stuff like that.
That's
true.
You
have to get it out.
No one can be positive all the time.
Right, and we can be positive
almost none of the time. I just think I think that the ideal system, it seems odd to me that this hasn't migrated to America, because I've seen it other places where it's a stand on the right, walk on the left kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can do whatever they want, because ultimately, I truly don't care what other people do.
Yeah.
It's just when it affects what I'm trying to do where I start to get negative about it. But I'm not going to do that now.
Yeah.
Because they can lay down on the escalator and I would love it.
If there's room to pass on the left, you're saying.
No.
Oh,
I'm trying to be positive.
Well, you could be positive, but don't lie. I want to know your true feelings.
Oh, okay. Well, my true feelings are stand to the right.
Well, there you go. But, okay, how about this? Maybe next time you see it, here's a positive way to look at it. You can take that as an opportunity to educate your fellow travelers as to escalator etiquette.
Don't think I haven't thought about doing that. I would love to go around the world and just do that as my job. But I think everyone would hate me, and I would have no friends.
Well, yes, but that's like a sacrifice, an honorable sacrifice to make if one day we could live in a world where escalators are treated properly.
That's true, yeah. Here's another positive, genuine positive about escalator standards is that if there is a staircase,
yes,
I always 100% take it now.
Sure.
But when there's not a staircase, it can be frustrating, but...
Oh, that's great, though. That's having you get a little more cardio.
Yeah, yeah. I would rather... This is the same, actually. Are we going to discuss traffic at all, or can I blow this right now? I don't think we are. This is the same with traffic. I would rather take a long route through neighborhoods that will take me 5 minutes longer, but I'm never stopped at a dead stop, than take the freeway 5 minutes quicker, but I'm stuck in traffic the entire time.
Yes.
And it's the same for escalators.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean... It's a thing like sometimes when I don't know how to get out of a neighborhood necessarily, like which direction I have to go, but I'm in an area that I'm vaguely familiar with, I know if I get to this neighborhood, I'll be able to navigate myself home. So I'll do like Google for the first part of it, and I'll see that Google Maps wants me to get onto the highway.
And then you're like, no.
Yes, exactly. So then, but that's great because I can spend some time exploring a new, getting lost in, you know, Encino.
Yeah, a wonderful place to get lost.
Yeah, I think that I think it says that on their sign entering entering town. Encino, a wonderful place to get lost.
Encino, we're assuming you weren't trying to get here.
Don't listen to them, people of Encino. All right, your work in the caveman defrosting
field. Industry. Yeah, it's big over there.
Mm-hmm. It was at one time. I don't know if it's
1994.
Yeah,
for one glorious summer. All right, I have one for you.
Okay.
Let's see if you can stay positive about this. I have a feeling that you're gonna hate this.
Oh God. Okay.
Again, I think that we probably have pretty similar thoughts about all of these. So,
yeah.
So it's easy to come up with ones for you because I'm just like, what do I hate? Colin will hate that. All right. We live in a packed metropolis. It is.
And what a cultural hub it is.
It is a cultural hub.
An opportunity every day. Sorry,
but
go on.
It is filled with people, and all of those people have their own car.
Yes.
And therefore, there are 20 billion cars in this freaking city, and it can be a lot. So, and all those cars need to go somewhere. They need to be stored somewhere.
Constant motion. Oh
no, they need to
be stored. You're not,
because the other weird thing about LA is that very few driveways and garages, especially for people of our ilk who can't afford their own houses. You know,
I'm like already,
yeah.
So I'm already getting like really upset, Micah.
I'd say about 50 to 90% of every Los Angelino's day is spent looking for parking, street parking. But there are some people who apparently haven't taken the time to notice their surroundings while parking.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rampant issue of parallel parkers leaving too much space between cars so that they take up maybe a two car spot with one car. They're positioned weirdly, or they position themselves a little too far from the driveway so that there's like a half car's length in front of them and behind them where a car could have fit if they had just repositioned. So what do you think of that?
I think there's literally no way I'm gonna be positive about this.
You
dude,
have
that,
to.
That cuts me to the core of my being. That is the thing. I have fantasies, which, you know what? I like fantasies and I like superheroes, but I have fantasies
sci-fi.
almost every night, because it takes me about 20 minutes to park when I get home from work because of that issue specifically.
Oh, you do live in a particularly bad area for that.
Yes. And two blocks over, there was a street that was formerly not permit parking only, and about 3 months ago it became permit parking, and now the whole ecosystem is thrown into shambles.
Oh wow.
Because everyone who used to park on that street is now parking on my street. And
well, if I may, Colin.
Yes.
Here's a positive spin on this.
Okay.
Buy a permit.
Yeah, I know, you gotta get downtown and do that. I've
then you gotta find parking there and it's a whole thing.
No. I should do that.
Because then you have...
Then I have all of that block.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good problem solve right there.
Yeah.
And I think one
They're
day...
They're not even expensive. They're very cheap, actually.
It's just going to City Hall. That's taxing on your soul.
It is. That's like a year's worth of salary right there.
I would give up 1 year's worth of salary to not go to City Hall ever again.
You can't do it by mail?
No, you can't do that by mail. But I just got my driver's license renewed by mail.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. I opened the thing and it said, this is actually really positive. I'll get to your topic in a second.
That's fine.
I opened the letter from the DMV, which normally you see a letter
That's
from the
bad
DMV,
news.
You're like, oh, great, here we go. But I opened it, and in big, bold letters at the top, it said, congratulations, you're eligible for renewing your license by mail.
Oh.
And I like that.
It's an eligibility issue?
I guess. I don't know.
What makes you ineligible?
I did not look that gift horse in the mouth.
You don't have a mailbox?
Yeah.
What could it possibly be? You have to be, like, an upstanding citizen?
I think it's probably if you have, like, points against your license or something like that, or you may need to take a new test or something like that.
That's some really, like, paternalistic behavior there from the government. It's like, oh, you're a bad boy, so you can't do this by mail. There's no actual functional reason why you wouldn't be able to...
Well, if you need to retake the exam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you have, like, points on your license and you need to retake the exam...
You said that before, but I just
ignored it. But that's okay, because I like hearing myself talk, and I got to say the thing I said twice. So,
you're welcome.
Thank you, Micah. That's really kind of you. But yeah, so all that aside, a permit would be a wonderful thing to have in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I drive by and I look at each and every one of those cars for blocks around and I see, it's a compulsion. I go 3 feet in front.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like foot and a half behind.
You're just in your car talking to yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Like squeezing
white
the wheel?
White knuckle, like there's nail imprints in my steering wheel sometimes. But I had this like fantasy that if I were Magneto from the X-Men, I would not be evil. I would just adjust people's cars for them all day long. I would fly around the city moving cars a foot and a half all day.
That is the most altruistic superhero imaginable.
Oh, heck
so much better than fighting baddies or aliens or whatever. Those fights cause entire cities to be destroyed. It's like, you're good. You're mm-hmm. the good guy, but you still destroyed all of New York. This the only evil you're fighting is misuse of space.
Exactly.
I'm just gonna brilliant. You should write that comic.
Oh, thank you. I may. I also, when I was a kid, I also wanted to be able to make quarters appear by opening and closing my fist.
That would devalue the quarter.
Well, no, but here's the thing. It's kind of a scam, but you know, we don't need to talk about capitalism. But I had the fantasy of walking around and just feeding parking meters.
Oh,
yeah.
No, that's nice. It would still theoretically devalue the quarter.
Right, but the inside the meter, it'd take them a while to figure it out.
unless your power is that you can take a quarter out of a bank vault into your hand.
Yeah, I would be into that. Yeah. Or just like right out of the mint.
Sure,
like brand new,
but
shiny.
It has to be one that they were already making. Because if you have the power to just manifest money, then it devalues money.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think money's
it's a
money
construct.
Makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's stupid. It's a stupid idea.
But we love money.
We do love it.
We love it.
I don't think we're doing a great job of being positive. Okay, so we haven't actually been positive about bad parallel parking.
I'm gonna think of something positive about this. Like there's something, I know it. But before we do that, let's check in with Rhett and Link real quick.
Okay.
Greetings, mythical beasts, from the set of Buddy System Season 2. We are in my trailer, which is why it sounds weird and different than your normal listening experience you've been having on this ear biscuit.
Yes, and one of the things that we have been doing while filming Buddy System Season 2 is snacking. We have been snacking I've been snacking a lot more than I typically snack.
Well, because we do get a lunchtime, but... It's at weird times. Like if you start at shooting at 9 a.m, our lunch isn't until 3:00. And then in between scenes, you get hungry. I got to snack,
working
man.
Working hard, got to snack.
And there's a place where we can go and get snacks.
And I've been making, I want to confess, I've been making a lot of bad choices this summer. Not morally, but just with my snacks.
Nutritionally.
Yes, I've been eating a lot of snacks that don't give me a lot of nutrients, but give me a lot of calories. Because those are the ones that you just typically naturally turn to in a moment of need and little thought when you just want a snack, when you have a snack attack.
Oh, yeah, and just ask my GI tract.
But NatureBox has come to our rescue with over 100 snacks. Well, we haven't tasted all 100, but we've tasted enough to know that this is something that we are going to enjoy.
Yeah, all the snacks are made from high quality, simple ingredients, which means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. So we and you can feel good about what you're snacking on.
I am currently enjoying the dark cocoa nom noms. That's my favorite so far, what I've tasted. I've been nom nomming on those quite a bit.
My favorite is the sour cream and onion straws. You got that savory crunchiness.
Mm. Yeah,
that,
I like those
that
too.
That fulfills my need for where I normally go to like chips that I shouldn't be eating.
You can get in on this too. It's so simple. Just go to naturebox.com, choose the snacks you want, and NatureBox will deliver them right to your door. And there's no risk. If you ever try a snack you don't like, don't eat it. NatureBox will replace it for free.
Okay, Mythical Beast, we have a special deal for you. 3 free snacks with your first order when you go to naturebox.com/earbiscuits. You got to make sure to go there now. naturebox.com/earbiscuits for 3 free snacks with your first order. naturebox.com/earbiscuits.
Now, on with the biscuit.
Now back to being more positive.
Okay, yes. So, I suppose the good thing about that is it allows less considerate people easier access to leaving their parking spot and potentially driving away from my neighborhood, maybe quicker. Never to return.
Yeah, they get to drive away a little quicker.
Yeah, they get to drive away a little quicker. They can head back to WeHo, and I don't have to I don't have to think about them anymore.
You're assuming that they all live in WeHo, all the bad
no,
parkers.
No, I like WeHo. I hang out
WeHo's
in WeHo's.
Just fine.
Yeah.
There's also a dearth of parking there, too.
Oh, what is a dearth?
I think I used that term, right? It's a lack. A lack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
It is?
I'm going to Google it right now. Dearth.
This is fascinating radio.
A scarcity or lack of something. You call you're you not knowing the word made me question if I knew the word.
Sure. I mean, I know few of the words in the English language.
I know not all many of the words.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so yeah, that's one way to look at it. Mm-hmm. I suppose I get it. Here's the thing. I am a bumper.
Yeah.
And I can understand your perspective of not wanting me to just hit your car.
Yes.
Because that, I want to park and be done.
That is what bumpers are for, but
it's like really in the title, isn't it?
Yeah. They're for bumping.
I think they're great for bumping.
They're tailor-made.
I don't know why steel bumpers went away from cars. Steel bumpers were great.
Were they?
Sure. Like on old trucks and
stuff?
Did
they not like fly out through windshields and like
that might be
skulls
it.
Or something?
That sounds like something... Yeah, Ralph Nader probably had the crusade against.
Yeah. Ralph Nader, what a fun pull. Because the seatbelt thing?
Because the seatbelt thing, yeah.
Yeah, he was responsible for seatbelts being...
He invented the seatbelt. And he is the co-creator of the internet.
Yeah.
With Al Gore.
The original seatbelt was a man's belt that was clipped onto... These sharp steel hooks that were just randomly put into cars for no discernible reason.
And you just like slipped your belt into it.
Wrap it into your pants.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you got into an accident, you would still go through the windshield, but then you would swing back. So at least you stayed with your car. That's the important part. When they get to the scene of the crash, you're still in your car. And that's Ralph Nader.
I just had the most... Okay, you just gave me the most, like, horrible memory. Do you remember in Driver's Ed when you had to watch Red Asphalt?
I don't think I ever watched that.
You didn't watch that one?
I may have. But yes, I know the general idea.
Yeah. So I remember I was in Driver's Ed, and our wrestling coach who taught Driver's Ed, of course.
Well, wrestlers are classically great drivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody knows
it's
that.
It's a thing.
The knowledge base of one area transfers
directly
one for one over to the other. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. They make great health teachers as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
but he was describing to the class this idea is like, oh no, a lot of people don't want to wear seatbelts because they think that if they get into an accident, they'll be thrown from their car to safety.
What? Nobody thinks that. He thought that. That's why he said it. He used to think that. He still does think it. They're forcing him to teach the opposite. He thinks that.
I mean, it just blew my mind, the thought process of flying through a pane of glass and landing like 50 feet away is somehow safer than being in an iron box.
When you eject from the car, you can land safely in a patch of grass. A nice, soft, billowy patch of grass, which is readily available.
I mean, I know you grew up in the same place as me, but that is like an eerily good impression of my high school wrestling coach.
I know what a high school coach sounds like in Chicago.
There's got to be something that I genuinely think is good about this. I'm determined now.
I have an idea.
Okay, please.
It's not necessarily good that comes from it, but it is a positive spin on it.
Okay.
I was in Minneapolis two Thanksgivings ago. My sister-in-law is from there, so my whole family goes every year to her family's place.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I went for the first time, joined them two Thanksgivings ago. And one of the most remarkable things that I noticed was it was a nice city, big city, real city, cool, really cool stuff, cool neighborhoods, etc.
This sounds a little
condescending.
It was like going to an actual city. No, you guys.
I'm prefacing with this because what I'm about to say is that there was so much parking. Parking was just abundant and free and joyous. It was a happy moment. I mean, it was like a fun experience. You go, you take your car, and you park wherever you want. You can literally just stop your car, get out. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Yeah. In Minneapolis, you don't need to worry about, how close am I to the curb? Am I going to be screwing someone over by not pulling up enough, et cetera? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, a Mini Cooper could fit here. Mm-hmm. Probably a Mini Cooper's here last. Should I leave more room or less room, et cetera?
Yeah.
And, do that math. Sometimes it's like, I can leave this much in front of me, this much behind me. Well,
sorry, not to cut you off, but do you get out of your car and repark if you... Mm-hmm. Okay, God, I love you, Micah.
Yeah,
get out of your car and repark if you did it wrong.
I have human empathy.
It takes so
I care about
time.
My fellow man.
Leave your car running.
I don't
running.
Understand them, but I care about them.
That's
leave it running. Get out and check.
Get out and check.
A quick check.
2 seconds.
It takes
seconds. Like, I got 8 inches. I'll take those 8 inches.
What are you saying?
I said if I got 8 inches, I'll take them 8 inches. Is what I'm saying.
Okay, but that also with the parking.
sometimes a parking spot is just a parking spot, Micah.
Okay. This is a recurring theme with things that you say to me. You said that in our smoker video about a grill being just a grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was getting at was that parking like that is a luxury.
Yes.
It means that you're carefree. You come from a place where this daily stress is not a part of the life there.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost acting as if LA is a paradise when it's not. So it's like you're bringing a little bit of paradise back to LA.
Okay. So it's almost like an escape. And actually, as much as this does bother me, I will admit that I have done it. Mm. And I've justified it in exactly the way you described. It's like I'm exhausted or whatever my excuse is. There's no excuse for this kind of behavior.
No.
And I don't want to seem like it's something we should be doing. But I remember at one point thinking like, I earned it today. I'm just gonna go all mirrors.
Someone else's suffering.
I earned someone else's suffering for my fleeting happiness. Yeah.
I mean, we live in a society, so that's the downfall of our civilization.
Mm. Is that when you have something someone else doesn't?
Well, it's that excusing bad behavior because I want to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's something I want, though.
Yeah. right. And look, man, I'm telling you, this is maybe twice in the 7 years I've lived in.
No, I know you. You're a good person. It's fine. You, everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure I've parked like a jerk.
I've come back to my car and seen that I parked like a jerk, and not realizing, and felt horrible.
Sure, yes,
I felt
course,
horrible.
Of course, that happens. One time, I parked. This is crazy. Okay, I lived in my place for like a year. I was in a particularly bad space mentally. Everything was going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 6 months, right after I moved into my place.
Okay,
and toward the end of this period, my car got towed. I wake up in the morning to a text from my neighbor saying, I think your car's getting towed. Or no, it didn't even say that. It said, I think your car just got towed.
Oh. Like,
cool. Thanks for
great. Timely.
Thanks for the timely text. No, it was good that she texted me at all because.
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would have cost way more because it's like by the hour.
Yeah.
So I went out. Indeed, my car was not there. I mm-hmm. called the number, found the place. It turns out that I parked in front of my neighbor's driveway.
Oh.
I have no idea how that happened, how I achieved that wonderful feat.
Mm-hmm.
And I even asked, I was like, I can't imagine this is true, that this really happened.
Yeah, because not me.
Not me. So I asked the tow truck driver for pictures, and he was like, oh yeah, I got pictures. And he showed them to me, and sure enough, I was right in front of their driveway.
Wow.
I felt so bad about it.
Full bore, like.
Like two-thirds of my car right in front of their driveway.
Wow.
I have to imagine that there's like this weird situation where there's like a fake driveway
mm-hmm.
right on the corner and then a real driveway. And so sometimes people like park in weird ways there or like mm-hmm. cover half of the real driveway because they live there or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I have to imagine I just filled in that space and didn't realize, didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
But even if I did, I don't know how it happened. But yes. But it cost me like $250 to get my car out and pay the ticket and everything. And I wrote a note and put it on the mailbox that I was like, hey, I'm the guy who parked in front of your driveway yesterday. I'm really sorry. I have no idea how that happened. Anyway, sorry. I just like wrote a little note because I felt really bad for that they had to deal with that in the morning.
You're a wonderful person, Micah. The
biggest emotion I felt was stupid.
Yeah.
And like annoyed with myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a little embarrassed, but that wasn't even... Because I think embarrassment can lead to people acting out, you know?
Okay.
To hide it. They're like, yes. Well, I deserve blah, blah, blah.
If I'm indignant, then I probably am right.
But that wasn't even part of it. It was yeah. like... I was like just kind of at a low, an emotional yeah. low. I was like, what
yeah.
did I do? Just feeling annoyed
yeah.
with my own behavior.
I mean, that's great. You see, I lived in a house... that had a driveway right off of a pretty busy street, right off of Sunset Junction, which is like a lot of shops, a lot of yeah, bars and restaurants, busy. Very busy, very popular. And they're kind of intense about the parking over there
yeah.
with ticketing and citations and stuff. So it is a difficult neighborhood to park in. And I'm glad that I had a driveway when I lived there.
Oh, that's nice.
It was very nice. But people would park in front of our driveway constantly. Day and night, we were blocked in. All the time, and it takes about 4 to 5 hours to get a tow truck.
Really?
Yes, it takes about 4 to 5
aren't
hours.
Aren't they thirsty to get?
You would think so, but it's like tow truck companies and the city of Los Angeles are kind of like cats. If you pay them okay, any attention, they are looking out the window. But as soon as you're trying to like sleep or eat,
yeah.
they are on top of your chest, like licking your nose.
Yeah, because when I got into an accident, there were like 6 tow trucks that showed up before the cops did because they heard it on the radio. They listened into the cops' radios.
Yeah, yeah.
And none of them were AAA. And the cop was like, "Mate," he was like, "Before I leave, you're AAA, right?" And the guy was like, "Yeah." And then he left, not AAA. And so he ended up leaving me, and I had to call AAA.
Wow.
Yeah, he was trying to take me to his buddy's shop in like Beverly Hills, which is not where I got into the accident, and it is nowhere near it.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so that's surprising that they wouldn't yeah. want to take advantage and make a lot of money.
You would think so. But here's my point. So we used to leave, we actually, positive spin, my roommates and I would have a great time drafting passive-aggressive notes for these cars.
Yeah.
Things like, hey, like I hope you have a good time at... Bar Stella today. and it would be great if you got back here before the tow truck arrives, but it has been called. Stuff like that. We would do stuff like that.
That note, won't get to them until they get to their car. So it,
right. Well, my hope is that the tow truck comes, it gets impounded, and then they go pick it up, and there's and the note waiting for it.
Under yeah. the ticket, yeah.
Yes. That's my hope of hopes.
Uh-huh.
But if I ever received that note that you wrote, mm-hmm. I would be like instantly relieved of all my aggression yeah. and all that like pain and
I'm
turmoil.
I'm sure they were like, what idiot? I'm sure they were mad. Of course. Why wouldn't you be? So yeah, hopefully that relieved it a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very frustrating. But yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm proud of you, Micah.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, I exist in a society. I think about the way my actions affect other people a lot. Like That's... maybe too much.
Yeah, it could be a thing.
I'm not saying I can absolutely be a jerk, but
yeah.
But I, it's just like, I don't know. It's a weird thing that I is like always floating around in my head.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way.
I understand what you're saying, but.
No. I feel the same way, man. Cool. You know what? Because when you're as good as we are.
When we're as good at being positive.
That's right.
Which we've done a great job of doing.
Yeah.
Do you have more for me?
I do. I have some notes on the floor I can go for. Okay. You want another one? Are
yeah.
you ready?
Okay. Yeah. We'll keep these ones quick.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do this one.
A little lightning round.
What do I have here? Oh, okay. Here we go. This is to stay on the tangent of cars.
Okay.
Because it's just sort of
classic mode of transportation.
In LA, it's one of the only ones.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about, this is another sort of etiquette question too. Four-way stops, like stop signs.
Uh-huh.
I find often that when people arrive at a four-way stop sign, they will just drive through it regardless of whose turn it may be. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. I find that as well. I actually find that that's a new phenomenon.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Like honestly, within the last year, four-way stops have become free-for-alls. They're just anarchy. I don't know what it is.
I don't either.
So this is a good one. Let me try and be positive about this. So it happened this morning, actually. There's one stop between my house and work that this is like the biggest example of this phenomenon where it's just like, because there's a school, it's like parents on their way to or from dropping their kids off at school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at the stop, you know, it's four ways, and these two cars got here, went as I was arriving. The perpendicular street went right as I was arriving.
Okay.
So then there's me and the car across from me, mm-hmm. facing me. That car.
Do you make eye contact? Are you like, hey, buddy, we're in this together?
And that car's turning left. So usually, I actually don't remember what the rule is for this, but that I let that car go first usually.
Okay.
So that car turns left and then I go, and as I'm going in the middle of the intersection, and this is full stops. There's like five cars at each stop sign.
Yeah.
The car right behind the car that just turned left starts going. I was like, in what world is this your turn? In what world, buddy?
In
the positive world where
everyone,
you know what? The people have, you know, some people are having a bad day. Mm-hmm. They have to rush somewhere. They have.
It's no fun to rush.
It's no fun to rush. And you know what? You don't know. I don't know what that second left turner was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he or she was trying. Got a text message from their loved one
mm-hmm.
that they're choking. It's like, oh, you just dropped off the kid. Well, guess what? I'm at home choking
mm-hmm.
on like an entire hot dog.
Can you text 911?
I don't know. Probably not. You can barely call 911 in LA. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to get through.
What did you have to call 911? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I call it every day just to check in.
To check
make sure
in,
that like... they're still there just in case I need them.
Yeah.
No, I've called 911. It was a terrible experience. It wasn't in LA. I was calling on behalf of my friend. I was in Chicago. My friend was in San Francisco. She called me on her cell phone on her way home from a bar. As women sometimes do for a safety issue.
Okay.
But it turns out after this happened, I kind of was reading up on it, and it's not actually the best tactic. A better tactic to remain safe on the streets is just to be alert and not have anything in your ears, supposedly. But so she calls me, we're chatting. In the middle of it, she yells an obscenity, which I will not repeat on this podcast.
Sure.
The bad one, you know, the real heavy one, and it's not that bad. The F one.
Oh, okay.
It's just the worst one all of them.
There's so much worse than that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You terrified
me. The classically bad one. Drops the phone, or, you know, the phone cuts out, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
My friend just got murdered.
Yeah.
So I call 911, and I get Chicago 911.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so my friend is in San Francisco, and she just dropped the phone and screamed, and they're like, okay, hold on. And I hear the woman ka-chunk a binder onto the desk, flip through the pages. It's about a 4-minute process. Like, San Francisco? Do you know where? No. Okay. Flip. Okay. Do you have a pen and paper? And I was like, no. hold on. I had to go find pen and paper. She reads me off a number for the San Francisco Police Department.
Uh-huh.
I call them. They will not open a case unless they can't make a case number unless they have an address.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I didn't even know where she lived. I didn't know what bar she was at, where she was going.
Yeah, none of it.
I didn't even know what part of San Francisco she was in.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't open a case. So every time I had to like get new information, like call friends to find her address, etc., I had to go through this process all over again, start from
scratch.
Wait,
you didn't call Chicago 911 every time, did you?
Yeah, I just wanted to check in with her and just let her know what was happening because she seemed worried. So this took a total of about 25 to 35 minutes just to like get that like any of this happening. And then before they could even send a cop out, she called me from her sister's phone. It was like, I got mugged. I'm fine. They took my phone. I'm at my sister's house now.
Wow.
Yeah. So good thing that's all that happened.
A happy ending.
Yeah. But that's my 911 experience. But four-way stops.
Yeah.
I think I said all I can say about it. If your loved one is choking at home, who cares about these other people? You got to get where you got to go.
That's true. Prioritize. Yeah. The people in your life are the truly the greatest treasure.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
If you have to piss off a couple of strangers in order to save a loved one,
mm-hmm.
well worth it.
Absolutely. And then just go back to that four-way stop with a handwritten note.
I'm so sorry about my behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
My daughter will be fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
Thank you for your understanding.
I gotta tell her not to eat whole hot dogs without chewing at 8 a.m.
Right.
That's more of a lunch item than a breakfast item. All right. I got one final one for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna take it away from cars.
Okay, that's good.
And into the friendly skies.
All right.
Listen, you talked about how this was a little cliche in general, this topic.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most cliche part of this cliche topic is air travel, right? Every stand-up comedian's got a joke about what's the deal with airplanes? They're so crazy. Why the peanuts?
I got a tight 25 on it, man.
Well, we got time. Let's do it. Let's hear it all.
Listen, it's not tight. I lied.
It's a loosey-goosey 25.
It is just
a wobbly.
Yeah, flim-flamming and zip-zopping around.
I mean, air travel's a nightmare. I would much rather travel by train if it were a viable option.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes so long to get through the airport, et cetera.
The thing about train travel is I find that there's far too many murder mysteries breaking out.
A lot of murders happen on trains.
I was like, come on.
And they're all mysteries. They're not easily solved.
They're so mysterious. Well, it's 'cause they're going through the tunnels. And that's
right.
when they always strike.
It's dark in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, airplanes.
The thing that I wanted to discuss is while you're in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I'm getting a little choked up about this.
Are you all right, man?
Yeah, I just got the burps.
Okay.
There's going to be inevitably someone sitting next to you.
Yeah.
God forbid you have the middle seat, and then you got two people next to you.
Yep.
But there is only one armrest, Colin, and that is a battle to be fought because who gets it? How do you split it up? What is the unspoken agreement here between you and your neighbor, elbow fighting on airplanes?
The unspoken agreement is give it to the middle seat.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that.
Give it to the middle seat.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer in that. If I have an aisle or a window, I don't put my arm on the middle.
You got one already.
I've got one. And, you know, I've either got a view or I've got easier access to the bathroom, like whatever, you know, there's like compromises and stuff. So I believe that the person in the middle should have it automatically.
This should be an announcement on the plane before it takes off.
Oh my God. Like in
this
the
should
little...
be established law. There should be a law about this. This makes so much sense. The middle seat, it's the worst seat. They should get two.
Everyone's bummed. Everyone's bummed to have the middle seat, you know, because a lot of times I travel a lot and I don't like necessarily the act of flying, but I love having access to airplanes.
You have so much access to airplanes.
I have a lot of access. I have more access to airplanes than a lot of people.
You could go get on an airplane right now.
We are
right down the street.
Dude, we are like 7 minutes from an airport right now.
That's access right there.
That is access to airplanes.
Yes.
So, although the one that we're close to doesn't fly anyway.
It does. It just costs a lot of money and stops in Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically it's a bus to Phoenix.
It's a bus to Phoenix to get on an airplane to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they just taxi it all the way to Phoenix?
They're just on the 10.
No, but I have had that situation. I mean, I went to Ireland about 6-7 months ago. I can't remember when.
That's where
exactly.
I got that shirt.
That's where I got this lovely Irish shirt, traditional Irish garb.
For the listener, he's wearing a green tie-dye
t-shirt
that has appeared on the mannequin, I believe, in GMM episodes.
That's right. It has. In our body swap episode.
Yeah.
So that's a long flight. And with the time change and layover, it took me exactly 24 hours to get to Dublin from LAX.
That's a trip. You know? Yeah.
So like I took off at 8:45 in the morning and I landed at 8:45 in the morning the following day.
Okay.
But
it wasn't actually 24 hours.
No,
to travel,
it wasn't. It's disorienting, right?
It is, for sure.
So then I'm there for a while. I was there for like 2 weeks and it was wonderful. I had a great time. And
yeah, it was a magical experience, et cetera. Okay.
Yeah. Air travel. on the way back, you can imagine I'm pretty exhausted, right? It's been a long trip, and I'm about to get onto this very excruciating plane, and I draw the middle seat on the way back. I had the window on the way there, so I'm like, that's fine. It's a balance. You know, I can be positive about it.
Yeah, the universe is in balance.
But I was feeling a bit territorial because it's, you know,
you were ready
long
to put up a fight, yeah.
So I established early my dominance over the armrests, like locked in, like little claws over the end of them.
Well,
like
you're an alpha traveler. It's right there on your ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure, because as much as that should be a rule that you just out of the kindness of your heart give it to the person in the middle, a lot of people don't.
No.
And so sometimes you just got to take what's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. And I went for it. And dude next to me, I swear to God, for 9.5 hours with this stranger, and I just remember like screaming inside my mind, jams his elbow in like that, and then just takes a centimeter of the armrest. So for 9.5 hours, our forearms are just touching.
Just full lock.
The whole flight.
Oh, man.
And I couldn't budge. I couldn't give him an inch because
he can't win. Yeah.
He can't win in this situation because this isn't about my ego. This is about like good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't allow him to have that. Like I almost didn't go to the bathroom the entire flight because I didn't want him to have the opportunity.
Yeah.
But I reached this tipping point where I almost like screamed because, you know, I didn't really have a bed for 2 weeks and like I was traveling. I was, you know, anyway, there was no like creature comforts for the last 2 weeks in my life. And I wanted so badly to not be touched by another human being for like 8 minutes. And I could have like just let it all go, but he wasn't allowing that for me. If I could just had my safe little bubble for a few moments, I could have gotten through it. But
that's the worst part about traveling, especially if I don't know if you got like hotel rooms for yourself, if you're doing hostels.
I was just doing hostels.
It's exhausting because you have at no point for 2.5 weeks or however long you're there, you have no bubble. You have no personal space at all. And that is really taxing.
But it is taxing. But I mean, that was my entire intention of that trip, was to put myself into a different sort of mind state. Yeah, I was like feeling a little too good about myself.
I wanted to just be surrounded by people at all times. No privacy.
I would, when I was staying in Dublin, I hated, this is travel related.
Sure.
Yeah. When I was staying in Dublin, I hated the hostel I was in so badly, but it was like the weekend of a big like football match, so like there weren't a ton of options, and so I went across the street to Trinity University, and for like 2 days in a row, I just spent my afternoons taking naps on campus of like
a
beautiful 200-year-old university, and I was just like, it was lovely.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. I watch like, you know, the kids playing rugby practice and stuff like that. You so learn, there's always
pick up a couple tricks.
I guess this is my positive take
yeah.
on the elbow space mm-hmm. thing. No matter what is happening to your elbow, you can always escape into the world of fonder memories. Mm-hmm. And it's a practice in stress management. It's a practice in sort of just, you know, like a zen-like quality yeah. where you can
when the world, the exterior world is causing you stress, you can move inside
yes.
and focus all of your energy on centering yourself.
Right. Or into a fiery ball of
no,
rage.
No, no, no. On centering yourself.
Okay, centering yourself.
Positive. I once had a guy on a plane. I've had a lot of elbow things on
yeah,
planes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I once had a guy on a plane. I was sitting in the window seat. I believe the center seat was open, which is nice.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you sat in it anyway.
No, no. This is maybe crazier than that. But I actually have had a lot of good luck on planes getting the center seat open
okay.
next to me. But he was on the aisle, and I'm just chilling in my seat, and he starts to talk to me, and I'm kind of like, I don't want to talk to someone on a plane. That's kind of my general MO. Mm-hmm. But he asks me if we can switch, because he likes to look out of the window. This is just a man, just a 45-year-old European man,
mm-hmm.
well-dressed, just a guy. He's like, hi, can we switch the, can I have the seat you paid for so I can look out of the window? This is just.
I mean, I guess.
But here's the thing, is that I'm so uncomfortable with this kind of interaction that I was like, okay. And I let him have it for a couple minutes, and I went to the bathroom. When I came back, I was like, can I get that back? And we switched back.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, but my normal inclination would not be to give
like, well, yeah. I mean, I get it. I would never impose myself on someone like that because
it's a crazy imposition.
It is.
Yeah.
But I would rather really, if you think about a grand scheme of things, it's not all that horrible of a thing to ask.
Of course not. If
you're a person unlike you or I, someone with a backbone maybe, you could have said no. Yes. I mean, obviously,
but
you
then
and
I could sit
not
next to that guy for the rest of the for the remainder of the flight.
Right? No, that's awful.
And it was just weird phrasing. He was like, I don't want to do a European accent because it's maybe offensive. So I'll just do it in my normal voice. But he's like, can we switch? I like to look. I was like, well, that's great for you that you like to look. I also like to look. That's why I got this seat.
Looking is great.
It'd be like if I went to Subway, got a roast beef sandwich, and then a guy with a tuna sandwich was like, hi, can we switch? I love roast beef. Well, then get a roast beef sandwich. This is my sandwich. I'm not automatically entitled to all the roast beef in the world just because I bought this sandwich, but this sandwich is my sandwich. Right?
Oh,
I'm not crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're crazy, Micah.
That was not I don't think we did a great job.
I don't think so either, man. You know what? So I know we talked about earlier about maybe doing like a negative thing to blow off some steam,
yeah,
but I think we got that out of the way.
I think we did. I think most of them.
Do you want to just real quick before we go just say something that like makes you happy to sort of just like be like genuinely positive? For
yes,
a second.
But I'm going to need a minute to think of something.
Okay. All right. I've got one locked and loaded. Spending time with my friend Micah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you really put me in a position now.
Well, you better respond the way I expect you to. You would better.
We do spend a lot of time together because we work every day together and we're on an improv team together.
Yes, it's 6 days a week, occasionally seven.
Yeah, every once in a while, seven. I'll return the favor, but I am genuine. I like being in scenes with you.
Oh.
We perform improv together, and Colin's a real fun guy to be in a scene with.
Oh, thanks,
man. You never know what he's going to do, but it's always a good move.
Oh,
dude. Keeps you on your toes, but he supports the scene. He makes it fun.
That is honestly really nice and really great to hear. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're
welcome. Makes me feel really good about myself.
Good. I'm glad.
Thanks, dude. All right, well, guys, this has been Micah and I's episode
Crew Biscuits.
Crew Biscuits. Thanks for listening. I hope you were able to make it to the end of this.
Yeah, I hope that we said anything remotely positive. I think we did.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember. It's all a blur.
It's like a whiteout of just rage.
Yeah, but I think we tried to find at least one positive spin on every negative thing that we brought up.
Yeah,
all right. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.